Rushdoony Radio presents Systematic Theology in Two Volumes by Russus John Rushdoony, narrated by Nathan F. Conkey, produced with permission by the Chalcedon Foundation. 8. Systematics and Proof. On May the 2nd, 1977, television viewers had an opportunity to see the film The Search for Noah's Ark. The producers of the film had as their intention the presentation of the evidences for the historicity of the biblical account in order to convince the unbelieving of the truth of Scripture. On the following morning, in a barbershop in Angels Camp, California, two or three men discussed the film. They were conservative Americans with an old-fashioned American and Christian rearing, but without faith. They were agreed that the film, quote-unquote, proved that Noah's Ark is actually on Mount Ararat and that the story of Noah was in some sense true. Did this convince them that the Bible is true and that the God of Scripture is the living and sovereign God? Far from it. Rather, it convinced them that scientists, like Orthodox Christians, are trying to force a rigid system onto the universe and thus will not allow for the reality of a vast realm of mysterious and chance events. Their conclusion was very simple. Quote, if Noah's Ark is true, so are flying saucers, end quote. Having begun with the premise of a universe of chance, with all factuality a product of chance, the, quote, evidence, end quote, for Noah's Ark was for them a telling, quote unquote, evidence for their own presuppositions. I thought, as I talked with the barber, that no more telling illustration of the truth of Dr. Cornelius Van Til's apologetics can be imagined. Unless we begin with the sovereign and predestinating God of Scripture, who is creator and determiner of all things, we cannot have any conclusion which will see the quote-unquote facts of Scripture as God-created, God-ordained, and God-governed facts. For all who begin with alien presuppositions, the quote-unquote facts of Scripture will be either myths or else, quote, evidences, end quote, of a universe of chance. Their reality as facts will be as brute factuality, not God-interpreted factuality. A few years ago, I clashed with a university professor whose work is exclusively with graduate students and whose reputation is international as a scholar. He became more than a little angry at my statement that the universe is totally rational because the absolutely rational God stands behind it and is the creator and predestinator of it. The universe, he insisted, has only, quote, a thin edge of rationality, end quote, man, and is apart from man nothing but irrationality and chance. Again, I was reminded of Van Til, who writes, quote, the modern man is, in the first place, a rationalist. All non-Christians are rationalists. As descendants of Adam, their covenant-breaking representative, Romans 5:12, every man refuses to submit his mind in the way of obedience to the mind of God. He undertakes to interpret the nature of reality in terms of himself as the final reference point. But to be a rationalist, man must also be an irrationalist. Man obviously cannot legislate by logic for reality. Unwilling to admit that God has determined the law of reality, man, by implication, attributes all power to chance. As a rationalist, he says that only that is possible which he can logically grasp in exhaustive fashion. As an irrationalist, he says that since he cannot logically grasp the whole of reality, and really cannot legislate for existence at all, it is chance that rules supreme. End quote. The meaning of man's revolt against God, his original and basic sin, is his will to be his own God, determining good and evil for himself, Genesis 3:5. The implication of this is that man, in order to establish himself as God and as the source of meaning and interpretation, is reduced to legislating all meaning out of the universe in order to establish himself as God. Only by emptying the universe of all meaning can man then declare himself to be the determiner and source of meaning. The world of man alone provides, quote, a thin edge of rationality, end quote, in the universe. The world of man, however, gives us then a world of competing gods, and we have the bloody horrors of the 20th century, the wars of the would-be gods. Legislating all meaning apart from man out of the universe means exactly that. Nietzsche demanded a world beyond good or evil. Dewey, as educator, called for a world beyond grading, beyond truth and error. Walter Kaufman has called for a world beyond guilt and justice. No criterion, law, norm, or standard beyond the man-god can be allowed to exist. Van Til has pointed out that, quote, there must be absolute truth if there is to be even the possibility of error, end quote. If we deny that absolute and sovereign truth, and if we allow even an atom to exist in independence from it, then we have denied the sovereignty of God and created a realm of escape from good and evil, truth and error, and from guilt and justice. And if an atom of matter or a single moment of time can escape from or step out from under the absolute decree and government of the triune God, then all things else can readily do the same. To cite Van Til again, quote, unless we presuppose the doctrine of temporal creation and the complete control of all things in the universe by the providence of God, God is confronted by that about which he cannot legislate by means of his thought. In particular, since on the idealist assumption, man is not created by God, the mind of man can initiate that which is new and unpredictable by God. God will wonder and hope that the laws of logic will somehow control reality, but he cannot assure the fact that they will. These laws are then independent of his nature. End quote. Systematic theology is thus impossible unless we begin, first, with the absolute predestination of the sovereign and ontological Trinity, and second, the doctrine of creation. Only so is God the Lord. Only then can we declare that there is a system, a law, and a structure to all things. The choice is not between some law intermingled with a doctrine of chance, miscalled freedom, on the one hand, and the doctrines of, quote, rigid Calvinism, end quote, on the other, but simply between God and chance. If an iota of chance is allowed into the universe, then God's sovereignty is denied, and God is not God. Moreover, we cannot allow the apostate definition of freedom and, quote, free will, end quote, to stand. For men in revolt against God, language is an instrument of warfare, to be used in the war against God. Freedom is therefore defined as correlative to chance. It is held to mean independence from structure and law, and is, in essence, unpredictability. The meaning of freedom, thus, is made identical with insanity. But this does not describe it adequately, because, quote, insanity, end quote, has a structure and pattern to it, and the various forms of insanity are classified and named. Freedom is equated with a radical independence from all law and compulsion. But such freedom does not exist, because the universe is not a world of chance, nor are all events in total isolation from all other events. Brute and isolated factuality does not exist. Every person, thing, or event has in the background a vast complex of causes, influences, conditioning factors, and forces which have produced that person, thing, moment, or event. Its freedom is to be what it is and what God ordained it to be. Compulsion is that which interferes with the matrix of convergent causes. I am a servant of God, and whatever interferes with my calling or tries to prevent it is compulsion to me. I am predestined by God, and therein is my freedom. I am not under nature, nor am I the creator of man. If a tyrant seeks to prevent me or hinder me in my obedience to the Lord, that is compulsion, and it is tyranny. Tyranny means, in origin, rule apart from God's law. God's law, in the form of both predestination and biblical law, is, to me, freedom. Not only do truth and error have meaning because God is the absolute truth and the sovereign and predestinating Lord, but also freedom and slavery have meaning only because God's sovereignty is the source of all meaning and prediction. Apart from the sovereign God of Scripture, no meaning and no system is possible. Systematic theology thus alone gives us any ground for faith, God, life, and meaning. Apart from Him, we have nothing and can prove nothing. Apart from the sovereign God of Scripture as our presupposition, the search for Noah's Ark readily becomes a, quote, proof, end quote, of chance and of flying saucers. The end of all non-systematic apologetics is absurdity. Well done for listening all the way to the end. This is Nathan, the narrator, speaking to you from Puebla, Mexico, from the Faith for All of Life school in which I teach English as a volunteer. I teach from kinder through high school. Now, I rely on donations in order to keep teaching and recording, so if you want to support a Faith for All of Life school in Latin America and want to keep listening to Rush Dooney while you vacuum, drive or cook, commute or whatever you're doing right now, donate at ctn.org/Nathan Conkey. That's NathanConkey, all lowercase. Or if you prefer PayPal, paypal.me/N Nathan. Capital C Conkey. You can also email me at nfconkey, that's nfconkey@gmail.com. Thanks, and I look forward to speaking to you very soon.